Ezekiel chapter 20 tonight. I don't think we'll finish it. I wanted to. I was hoping to, but I don't think so. Chapter 20 gives us another time stamp. It's the seventh year of the captivity, the fifth month, tenth day. About 2 years, the siege would begin, and about 5 years, the city would be taken. And the circumstances we find here, the elders, literally the men from the old ones of Israel, they came to, literally, to seeking of Yahya. And the Lord rejected them from coming to seek him. Wow. You think, well, seeking the Lord is a good thing. But the Lord says, I will not be sought of you. And what he did, what he told Ezekiel to do, let me see if I can find the actual verse. Verse 3, I believe. No, verse 4. Wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And we looked at that last week. The abominations of their fathers in four different sections. We didn't really finish that fourth, the third and fourth section, perhaps, though we mentioned it. But what Ezekiel is told to do by the Lord is to remind them of what their fathers have done. For a very particular reason, he does say this. And he talks about how he brought them out of Egypt, but they rebelled. They rebelled in Egypt while they were still there in part one. Part two, he caused them to go out of Egypt, and they rebelled against the Lord. He says, I gave them my statutes and my judgments, I caused them to know, which he says, the man will do them, he shall live in them. And so he gave them the best, he gave them the way of life. And what did they do? It says, then they caused to rebel against me, the house of Israel, in the wilderness. In my statutes they walked not, and in my judgments they rejected. The idea is reject with disgust. They rejected the judgments and the statutes, which the man will do them. Then he'll live in them, he says. He says, in my Sabbaths they polluted much. And then the Lord said he would pour out his rage upon them in the wilderness to finish them off. But he didn't. For his name's sake, he did not. He didn't finish off the house of Israel. Although those who didn't believe, they were consumed. That is true. And so, part three, it begins in verse 15. Why did I break these up in different sections? Because they generally contain the same elements, and you actually see it even in the grammar a little bit here. You have what the Lord did, then you have their rebellion, and then, what the Lord did, he intervened, and then he gave them instructions. They rebelled, and the Lord was patient with them, and you see that in almost all of these sections. In verse 15 began that third section, what the Lord did. He shows his patience with them in verse 15, or long-suffering. Yet also I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness, that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, which is the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and walked not in my statutes, but polluteth my Sabbaths, for their heart went after their idols. Nevertheless, mine hand spared them from destroying them, neither did I make an end of them in the wilderness. So he was patient with them. And you can see some of this. I wanted to correlate a little bit of what the Lord's talking about with what happened, because he's just referencing back here would be Numbers 14. Why don't we take a look really quick? Numbers 14, and just a few verses here. So, this is at Kadesh Barnea. It says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron, they fell on their face. Joshua and Caleb, they were there, and they rent their clothes, and they spake. And verse 8 says, If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Verse 10, But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. So, all of that to say, this is after they went into the land to spy it out. They came back. They rebelled against the Lord. And so you see that. So it says, unless bringing them into the land. They were going to do that, but they rejected his judgments. They rejected what he had said. He says his eyes pitied them from destroying them. He didn't finish them off in the wilderness. Not completely. He gave instructions, though, in verse 18. And so they rebelled, and he did not destroy them all, but he did destroy everyone who was 20 years and older. And it's interesting, back in Ezekiel verse 18, where he says, But I said unto their children in the wilderness, because they died off. Aaron died in the 40th year, and so did Moses. They died in the 40th year. And in fact, Deuteronomy was written in the 40th year. And it's written to these people. And I'll read some verses in a minute. But in verse 18, he said unto their sons, Walk ye not in the statutes of your fathers, neither observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk ye in my statutes, and keep my judgments, and do them. And hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So there's the instructions. I exist, Yahya, your God. Walk in my statutes, walk, and in my judgments, keep and do them. My Sabbaths, hallow. So, why? To knowing of, because I exist, Yahya, your God. That's what he says in the end there, in verse 20. Let me read you a part from Numbers 26, verse 63 through 65. These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho. But among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron the priest numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. For the Lord had said of them, They shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Also, there's a record in Deuteronomy 4. As I mentioned, as you begin Deuteronomy 4, it's the 40th year. So there are some people alive that were going to die, such as Moses. But Deuteronomy is speaking to the children. And as you read the first four chapters, he's just recounting everything that you already had before. You think, this is redundant. But he's telling them, let me tell you the whole story. The Lord brought you out here. This is what happened. And they rebelled, and they did this. And he's explaining to the children, just like he says here in verse 18, that he talked to the children, walk not in their statutes. Don't do that. Don't observe their judgments. Don't defile yourselves with their idols. I am your Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. And Deuteronomy, again, just gives instructions to these people. But verse 21 tells us that even these children rebelled. In verse 21, the first part says, "Notwithstanding the children rebelled against me, they walked not in my statutes, neither kept my judgments to do them, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. They polluted my Sabbaths. Then I said I would pour out my fury upon them to accomplish my anger against them in the wilderness." Verse 22, "Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted in the sight of the heathen, in whose sight I brought them forth. I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and have polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols." So, you can see there, they rebelled, and you see the Lord's patience. And then verses 23, I've already began to read, this is the fourth part here, where the Lord responds to them. He lifts up his hand to them in the wilderness. With what result? To cause scattering of them in the nations, and to cause flying of them in the lands. And they rebelled. That's the reason for his response. The reason he did this is found in verse 24, because, or answering, on account of, which is interesting. He says, on account of, they executed not my judgments, but they had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths. Answering. So he gives a criteria here for the reason of his scattering them. And I think it's important to mention there's a criteria. The Lord is not arbitrary. It's not just, well, I don't know. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes he blesses you. Sometimes he doesn't. Maybe, you know, if we do enough good, maybe we will get his pleasure and his favor. Maybe he'll bless us. Maybe he'll give us a lot of stuff. Maybe he'll give us a boat. You know, we judge the Lord like the heathen judge their own gods. We have to please the gods. The gods are not pleased with us, so we need to do something, perform some act to get the pleasure of God. But the Lord's criteria hasn't changed, and he doesn't change, and there's always a criteria for what he does and the criteria for man to live to. And yet, so they rebelled. The criteria was they didn't do his judgments. My judgments they did not. And my statutes they rejected, and my Sabbaths they polluted. And after the idols of their fathers was their eyes. So their eyes were after the idols of their father. And then you have the Lord's response in part two of this. Part two, yes. Part two of the response of part four. That's confusing. So we have part four of what he's saying about, he's telling them the abominations of their fathers. And the Lord responded in this first section, verses 23 through 24. Then there's kind of a second part in verses 25 and 26. He says, "Wherefore I gave them also statutes that were not good, and judgments whereby they should not live. And I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb, that I might make them desolate, to the end they might know that I am Yahweh." So, he gave them statutes, not good, and judgments, not, they are living in them. So this seems, wait a minute, how did the Lord do this? Because before he gave them his statutes, he gave them his judgments, that if a man do them, he will live in them. They're the way of life. And then it says here, I gave them, he doesn't say my statutes, it says statutes not good. Judgments, they are not living in them. Which is interesting. And then he says, then I defiled them. It's intense. I defiled them in their gifts and causing to pass over entirety of to pass through the fire all that openeth the womb. And I believe what he's saying here, he gave them, he gave it to them. He gave them what their wish, their desire. Like Romans chapter 1 says, how he gave them over to their lusts, to work all these things. Or he would give them strong delusion, as he talks about, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians. But the Lord gave them over. Or you might even think the children of Israel, as he gave them the quail, he gave them their desires, but it was not good for them. God allowed something for them that was not good for them. Why? He says here, then I defiled them in their gifts. I polluted them in their own gifts, in that they caused to pass through, pollute or defiled. So, it's interesting. It's interesting. He let them have what they wanted. And in verse 26, the second part will tell us the reason. It's interesting how the Lord says the firstborn is his. It was his. And they were supposed to redeem the firstborn. Yet in their perversion, they gave their firstborn to their idols as sacrifices. Everything that the Lord institutes, Satan, the world, man, flips right on its head. They were giving that which was rightfully the Lord's to another. And the results are in the second part of 26, where he says, that I might make them desolate, to the end that they might know that I am the Lord. I am Yahweh. So that's the results. He gave these things for this particular results. He would not restrain them, but rather let them have their way so that they will be judged. Then they will be desolate. Then they will know that he is Yahweh. He is the existing one. And it's interesting how the Lord, he gave so many opportunities, opportunity after opportunity. And you see that not just to the Israelites, but to the world. Genesis 15, 13 through 16 says, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a strange land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. I read all of that for that last phrase, the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. The Lord didn't let the Israelites go into Israel or Canaan because he was giving opportunity to the Amorites. Their iniquity was not yet full. And so he does, to each generation, he gives opportunity each and every day. So verses 1 through verses 26 is the first section speaking of the abominations of their fathers. Don't forget the context. The elders came to sit before Ezekiel to inquire, to seek after the Lord. And the Lord says, I'm not going to be sought after them. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. And you see the answer of the Lord in verses 27 through 44. He says, therefore, son of man, speak unto the house of Israel and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that ye have committed a trespass against me. For when I had brought them into the land for which I lifted up mine hand to give it to them, then they saw every high hill and all the thick trees, and they offered there their sacrifices, and there they presented the provocation of their offering. There also they made their sweet savor and poured out there their drink offerings. So he gives the command to Ezekiel. He says, thus express unto the house of Israel, son of man, then you will say unto them, thus said the Lord of me, Yahweh. The same terminology he's been using. And you think about it, the Lord uses people. The Lord uses people, and he wants to use us as well. But he uses Ezekiel here to communicate to his people. And he says, yet this, your fathers blaspheme me in their, I think it uses the word transgression here, or their trespass, in that they have committed a trespass against me. And the word here for trespass is the word to, it's also, I believe, translated treachery, unfaithful. It's to go aside. So they blasphemed me in their going aside against me, going aside. And they use that in Hebrew. They'll use that infinitive phrase with a regular verb, which this is a little different perhaps, but it's very emphatic. And he says here, they've blasphemed me in that they've trespassed, they've gone aside. He says, and your fathers, unto the land which I lifted up my hand to giving of it to them, then they saw each high hill and each thick tree. And then it talks about what they did. It says, then they sacrificed there their sacrifices. Then they gave there the provocation of their offering. Then they put there the smell of their appeasements. That's the odor, that sweet savor. It's a smell of their appeasements. It's a smell trying to appease. Then they caused to pour out there their drink offerings. So he's talking about all the worship that they're doing to these idols on these high places. So they're doing after their own self-will, their own rebellion. This is what they've decided to do. And it's interesting what the Lord says in verse 29. Then I said unto them, what is the high place whereinto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Seems kind of a strange thing to say. I said unto them, what is the high place whereinto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bama unto this day. Better pronunciation would be Bama, Bama unto this day. What is the Lord doing? Why is he asking this question? What is the high place whereunto ye go? He's asking them, and it's interesting. I didn't think about this before, but the Lord asks these questions because they're to give an account. It's so that they can give an account. He asks these questions because not because he doesn't know the answer, but it's so that man can give an account. Think about Genesis chapter 3, 9 through 12. Let me just read a little bit of it, where he says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Why did he ask that? So he can give an account where he was. He says, who told thee that thou wast naked? He's doing that so man can give an account. He says, what is this that thou hast done? Talking to the woman. So that she can give an account. What about Cain? He says, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? Giving him an opportunity to give an account of why he's doing what he's doing. Genesis 4:10 with Cain as well, after he killed Abel, what hast thou done? Genesis 18:13 through 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of surety bear a child which am old? So he asked the question. It's rhetorical, yes, but it also gives opportunity. It's a give an account. You need to give an account. Why did you do that? Why did this happen? You also have, there's so many other examples. I'm not going to read them all. But even in the New Testament, what about Paul on the road to Damascus? Well, how he fell to the earth and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Ask the question so he can give an account. And it's true, man's going to give an account. We read some of these verses on Tuesday. 1 Peter 4, verses 4 and 5. He says, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So we're jumping right into a context, but hopefully you can understand by that verse. They think it strange you're not doing these same things. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. So they're going to give an account. The Lord will ask them a question. What did you do? Why did you reject? Hey, that night when you heard the word of God, Why did you not turn to me? They're going to give an account. Romans 14, 11 through 12 says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Everyone. So the Lord asks questions. I believe it's so we can give an account. Tell me why. And now you tell him why. And he says here, though, he says, okay, so what is the high place whereunto ye go? And the name thereof is called Bema unto this day. It's kind of strange. Literally, then he will call her name, the name of the place. He will call the name Bema or Bama unto this day. What is Bama? Why call it Bama? Well, he used that same word in this sentence. What is the Bama which you are going to or going there? And he will call her name Bama. So Bama just means high place. So what is the high place you are going there? Then he will call her name High Place unto this day. So that's what it's called. It's called High Place. The High Place. Here it doesn't have the article, but they call it Bama. It just means high place. So they're calling it High Place. But he says this, until this day. Interesting. I believe the point that he's making here. So yes, he asks the question so that they can give an account. And the name of it is, the high place is called the high place. And it's called that unto this day even. And the point seems to be that they still, even to this day, do these same things. Until this day, and it indicates that the high places were still in existence. You recall reading through the account of the kings, how that he would talk about he did not tear down the high places, or he did tear down the high places, different kings who did different things. But this indicates that they're still there to this day. He's making a case here against the elders that are saying, oh, we want to seek the Lord. In part one, you have the Lord's evaluation of these elders here. And he says in verse 30, "Wherefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God." You see that Adonai Yihyah. "Are ye polluted after the manner of your fathers, and commit ye whoredom after their abominations? For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all, that ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone." So he says, "To thus say unto the house of Israel, thus said my Lord Yihyah." And he asked that question. "In the way of your fathers, are you being defiled? Are you being polluted? And after their abominations, the detestable things, are you," here he says, I think it uses the word whoredom, committing whoredom, or you could say fornicating. Are you fornicating? And in carrying of your gifts, in causing to pass your sons in the fire, you are being defiled in all of your idols until, I believe it's understood, until this day. Literally, until the day. So they were doing the same things. They were doing the same things that their fathers were doing. They were doing the same things. That's why the Lord reminds them of what their fathers had done and what the Lord had done, because they're doing the same things and the Lord's going to do the same things to them. You remember, these people, it's the seventh year. They left. Where did they leave? They left Jerusalem. Jerusalem hadn't gotten bad in just the last 7 years. No, it's been a long time. They were committing the abominations of even Manasseh. They went back to those abominations. It was very wicked in Israel for a long time. And these people came from there. They had not changed. They came to sit before the Lord to inquire of him. And he says this, and the Lord uses the oath. And who does he make an oath by? By himself. There's nothing higher. In verse 31, it says, as I live. You see the as is in italics. As I live, saith the Lord. Literally, it's living, I understood, living, I exist. Just as I exist. And then he says, saith the Lord, or in utterance of my Lord Yahweh. And then he uses that same phrase that we talked about before. Here it says, I will not be inquired of by you, which is good understanding of what he's saying. Literally, it's a condition. Here's a condition. I will be sought out of you. And I think it's, if will I be sought out after you? No. Understood, I won't. The Lord would not be sought of them because they didn't believe on him. They came in pretense, but not in a submissive heart to truly know the Lord. So many people do the same thing. Maybe every Sunday, maybe every day in pretense, you know. You think about the Pharisee who's standing there with his arms like this. And I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like this publican. He says he prayed thus with himself. Pretense. Came to the Lord, but it didn't mean anything. The Lord would not be sought of them. And so, he also says this. He says in verse 32, and that which cometh into your mind shall not be at all. The thing going up upon your, he says, mind here, it's ruach. Ruach is most often translated spirit or wind. Okay, just like pneuma in the New Testament. The thing going up upon your spirit to existing, not it will exist, which you are saying. It's not going to happen. The thing that's in your mind's not going to happen. He uses they translate it mind here, but spirit, which is interesting. There's a connection between spirit and mind, which is interesting. But he says, this is what they were saying in their minds. We will be as the nations, as the families of the land. To serving of wood and stone. That's not the regular word of serving, like an eved, like a servant or a, not like a servant, but as ministering. I'm going to serve you as minister to you, not be a servant as a master-servant relationship, but to serving of wood and stone. So that's what's in their heart and mind. So the Lord, who knows the mind, he knows the spirit, he knows how they were thinking, and they were thinking something along the lines, we will be like these nations. We will do what they do. We will serve their gods. We're coming to a new land, and so we're just gonna do like they do. That's what's come into their mind. That's what's come into their mind. And as you go further, we won't study further, but I'll just mention, he's going to talk about the purification of Israel here in verses 33 through 38, how he's going to purify them. And then in verses 39 through 44, begins part two, the Lord's going to restore Israel. And then he mentions Israel's future response. In verse 43, it says, and there shall you remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have wrought with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O ye house of Israel, in utterance of Adonai Yahweh. So the Lord is it's simple, really. When you boil it down, it's really simple. It's foundational. Either you're rebelling against God or you're submitting to God. Everybody falls in one of those categories. Either you're actively rebelling or you're actively submitting to him. And the Lord is going to deal with his people. And he promises restoration, and we'll look at that. There's some good the promises here that we need to magnify a little bit, because sometimes people have different views, but the Lord's clear here. We'll look at that perhaps next week. Dear Lord, thank you that we can study your word. Thank you for having it. Everyone has it in their home, and everyone has tools to study it and access to people who have studied it and books. And we thank you, Lord, for all of these tools that you've given to us, and the freedom and the time to study and the abilities. And we pray, we ask, Lord, you'd help us to do it for your glory and honor's sake, and that we can know you, but also so that we can show you to others. And help us, Lord, as we prepare for tomorrow and the next few days, help us to do that, to go out and with a mind to reveal you to other people. And pray this in, for Christ's sake. Amen.